Good morning, everyone. Zach Arskadin coming to you live right outside Raleigh, North Carolina. And today is another blessed day in the Lord. But I also want to throw out the caveat of we need to keep our emotions in check and in order so that we don't allow our anger to turn towards sin. Because our goal here, and as the word tells us, is to be a light to those around us and to the nations. Today is one of those days where we're really going to have to make sure we're staying in the peace of the Lord so we can show the love of Christ. Now, with that, if anyone has any dreams that they need help interpreting, you can send them to PIP@ChristianCenterShreveport.com. Again, PIP@ChristianCenterShreveport.com. Those who are watching live, you can see it scroll at the bottom of the screen. Those who listen on podcast, I will put the email in the show notes for you to go back later and look at. All right, first, I want to give an update on the Ida situation. So yesterday, Ida made its way through the Midwest up into the Northeast and caused some significant damage. And as Wall Street Journal is reporting this morning, at least eight dead, in the greater New York City area, and causing flooding there as well. And some deaths in New Jersey and in Maryland. Very, very sad to see just what a lot of rain can do. And for those watching, I'm just going through here and showing some of the devastation. This is in Philadelphia, this first one here. Cars are underwater. And it's devastating. I know last night in and around Philadelphia, there was hurricanes. We have some contacts there that they are they had hurricanes last night, and they don't usually get, tornadoes, excuse me. They don't usually get tornadoes in Philadelphia. So a very severe weather storm in New York in the subway system. There was flooding, as you can see here, with these videos here that are posted on an article in Queens. Buildings were flooding on the bottom floors. People having to be evacuated, police were having to be called. It's just a sad state for those there and who are living there. And so we just want to continue to pray for not only those obviously in South Louisiana who are still struggling, getting fuel, which is causing a big problem and slowing down the recovery process, but also they need, as we learned on our noon prayer yesterday, they need a north wind. To be able to blow the water back out, back into the sea. So we want to continue to intercede for those and all those affected by Hurricane Ida, because it's not just Louisiana, Mississippi, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. It's everywhere in between along the Midwest, along that route there, who have been affected. I saw the White House yesterday declaring state of emergencies in several states. Because this is an issue. So we want to continue to stand there, pray there. Again, if you're going to give to organizations who you know personally to an nth degree and know that they're actually going to give to people who are in need. Because a lot of times in these situations, people pop up shops and they ravage people who are have a giving heart. So be careful who you're giving to. We have a fund for those in South Louisiana that we know personally. And so that's where we're giving. But just going through and showing some more pictures of in New Jersey and in Pennsylvania, the flooding it's devastating. but we want to stand there and stand in faith with everyone affected. All right, moving on. It's an interesting story. This was sent to me yesterday. I wasn't able to get to it because I wasn't able to read it and check up on it. But I read it yesterday and this morning again. And I think this is very key for the, especially the coming months. So if you've seen the headline of two senior FDA vaccine regulators are stepping down, this is coming a report from CNBC. Okay. So, you know, this is more left leaning. And so their reporting here is very, very significant for you to realize. So there's two senior officials, Marion Gruber, who is the director of the FDA's Office of Vaccine Research and Review, and the deputy director, Phil Krause, will exit the agencies in October and November, respectively. And here's some of their reasonings for why they're stepping down. And this is coming from news websites and industry publications within the medical industry. One that first released it was BioCentury, a biotech website, and then Endpoint News, a biotech industry publication. And the first report by BioCentury was that these two gentlemen announced their plans to depart because the Biden administration is preparing to offer the general public a booster shot starting September 20th. And they ultimately saw this as a premature and political decision. And also, biggest key here is because the FDA hasn't finished reviewing data on boosters yet. So the Biden administration is jumping out ahead of the FDA in causing this to come forward. And Endpoint News points out, from these gentlemen, the reasons they're really frustrated is that the CDC is involved in this, and other people who are not a part of the FDA are the people who are making these decisions. And even the White House COVID czar, Jeff Zients, has said that the decision being made was made by senior health officials, and including acting FDA Commissioner Janet Woodcock. So not the FDA's review board, which is what these gentlemen are a part of. So they're looking at it as a sham. Now, is this really the best thing that should be done? We could sit here and argue it, but they're saying, hey, we want to be nowhere near this. So I think that's very interesting. So when you hear, come September, come October, come November, when they're suggesting you get these booster shots and that it's been approved by the FDA, know that the two men who are on top of the boards and on top of the review process for the FDA to be able to approve it have stepped down because these booster shots have not been approved by the FDA because they haven't even finished reviewing them yet. And this is just going with the booster shot. So we're going to have to hold on to that and remember that in the days ahead, because this is very revealing to what is actually going on behind closed doors and really in front of our eyes. And people, we need to wake up to the realities of things that are going on. All right, next, I'm going to preface this story with this is one we really have to get our emotions in check with, especially those who are in disagreement and would like this current president to be out of office. This is a strategy that has been tried for generations and has failed for generations of trying to get the sitting president impeached. Now, because there's a Democrat in office, Republicans are trying to do it. If you remember when President Trump was in office, Democrats tried to do it. They thought they succeeded, but legally they did not succeed. You go back to Obama, Republicans did the same thing. You go back to Bush, Democrats did the same thing. You go back to Clinton, Republicans did, like, it's flip-flops. Who's ever not in office, the only thing they try to do is they try to impeach to get the president out of office. I'm going to say it here, and I'm going to continue to say it. It is a complete and utter waste of time, and it will not actually get done. And the reason I am having to say this is because not only are people selling t-shirts, impeach 46, impeach Biden, it's a great fundraising campaign, and anybody who's doing it, I would very much question their motives as to why they're selling t-shirts for something that can, all intents and purposes, 99% chance of not happening. And the reason I'm having to point this out is because a somebody who I, on certain issues, stand behind and will support, but on this one, I'm going to have to call it out. We have to be intellectually honest and understand the realities that this will happen, will not. And Lauren Boebert, who with the Freedom Caucus has come out and said that know, she and they have a plan to get rid of Biden, Harris, and Pelosi. Understand that. Biden, Harris, and Pelosi. That is very ideal. If it could happen, I would love to see the plan. And here's her plan is to to ultimately call for votes, call for things to happen that she would need Pelosi herself to do. She also wants to go after Secretary Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, who's on vacation right now. and she's saying, I have legislation that will be introduced to impeach both Biden and Harris, which you would need Nancy Pelosi's agreement to actually move that forward. You'd have to get it out of committee and a host of other things. And ultimately, she says, and Nancy Pelosi can follow them out the freaking door. She certainly needs to be held accountable for this, as we have called, as the Freedom Caucus, we have called on Leader McCarthy to introduce a resolution to vacate the chair. Okay, very interesting. She also calls for McConnell to step down. Again, that's not going to happen. As much as, you know, she and a lot of other people would want to, unfortunately, it's not going to happen. And if you removed all these people, the person who would be left in charge of leading the country would be Vermont Senator Patrick Leahy, who is 81 years old. If you think Joe Biden is folding under pressure, wait till you get somebody who's older to fold under pressure. And McConnell comes out and says, look, the reality of this happening is very slim to none. And in order to impeach Biden over this Afghanistan debacle and any other debacle, the GOP would need to organize impeachment hearings. You understand that? They'd have to order hearings, which Pelosi would intervene with and shut down. You'd have to have a vote on impeachment based upon the articles in the House, which Pelosi would not bring forward. And then you would have to, when you go to the Democrat, to the Senate, have to get Democrats to bring the vote forward and have a majority of a 50-50 split Senate vote to vote President Biden out, Vice President Harris out, and Pelosi out. I'm sorry, this is not reality. This is a complete waste of time. Why not deal with the infrastructure bill? Why not do other things and expose other things that are going on within this administration rather than just calling for impeachment? Look, I know a lot of people are caught up in this, of impeach, he needs to be removed. Look, there are legitimate reasons as to why he needs to be removed, but the reality that he will be removed, this is a separation. The reality that he will be removed is very slim to none, because as long as the Democrats are standing behind this current administration and they're not going to remove him. And somebody asked a question, can you explain why he left our military equipment there? Okay, the issue is not what he did. Yes, what he did should be impeachable on in a normal circumstances. But right now we're not in normal circumstances where people are actually doing things objectively. People are doing things based upon subjective measures. The subjective measures keep them in power. And the Democrats, if they're going to stand behind Biden and the Arab Spring, I mean, stand behind Obama and the Arab Spring and the Affordable Care Act and everything such as that, they're going to stand behind Biden on this, because they're the ones who made these decisions. Their party, like they follow the party line. And I agree with you. Yes, everything, these decisions that he did were absolutely disastrous and should not have been done. Like, two things can happen at one time. I can disagree with what happened, but I can understand the realities of how Congress and the legal process works to where this will not happen. I mean, again, there's a difference between what we want and what will happen. And the reality is as McConnell may not like it, as long as it's sad to hear, but the reality is, he will not, through the avenues that they're trying to get done by having it being Republican-led, impeachment will not happen. It has to be Democrat-led. And right now, Pelosi and the Democrats, and more than likely for the foreseeable future, unless a miracle happens, Biden and Harris and Pelosi will continue to stay in office and in positions of power. And even though it is dementia and everything, we have to understand that. And The reason I say that is because we have other battles that we need to fight. We can sit here and figure this, try to argue here and stay in this rut and continue going around this circle, or we can actually do something, because Democrats are still moving forward. They're trying to get the 1.2 infrastructure bill passed. They're trying to get the 3.5 infrastructure bill passed, get it out of the Senate, get it to the House, and get it moving. Like, there's things that are still going on. And we have to realize that. We have to leave our emotions at the door and understand that there are decisions that need to be made, and other battles that need to be fought. Okay. Now I want to move on to some good news. And if you have questions on that, please feel free to put them here in the comment sections, or send me an email. I can further explain that. Because the reality is that it is far-fetched for Republicans to think that they can do it. And you can go look back at history. History tells you that. All right, but moving forward, several days ago, the Texas GOP put the bill through to basically re-emphasize election integrity in Texas. And Democrats have been upset with it. And I just want to read one line from this, and understanding that this is what they're upset about. This is one of the things they're upset about in this bill. And there's a host of other things that it does, is along with the Georgia and Florida ones of not allowing certain things to be done. But in this bill, some of the things, and one of the things that they're upset about, is that it bans public officials from offering people unsolicited applications to vote by mail. They're saying it's more restrictive. Not only do you have to have a voter ID, but it organizes at a state level how the early voting process happens, actually adds more hours, not less. They say it's more restrictive, but it's not, just like the Georgia one, because they took literally from the Georgia bill and the process that Georgia put in place there. So this is good news. Just reporting this there. And then also, to stay in Texas, is we talked about it yesterday, but then there was an action by the ACLU and Planned Parenthood to block the Texas abortion bill from going into place. And ultimately, the Supreme Court denied it on a 5-4 basis, John Roberts siding with the liberal justices. And Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, and Amy Coney Barrett actually stood up to continue to allow this. Now, they did say in their rulings is that at the end of the day, they're still – can be other challenges to this. So there could be continued litigation on this, to whether it's actually constitutional and things of that nature, but they did allow it to go forward. They haven't heard it and actually heard the case, because they're going to focus on the October case, in the case of Mississippi, that actually challenges Roe v. Wade. And one of the things I want to point out is, not only did Justice John Roberts side with the three liberal judges, which I think this shows you where he really lies, but also Justice Sonia Sotomayor, she said this in her dissenting opinion. This is shocking from a Supreme Court justice to say this. It's shocking. And she said, presented with an application to enjoin a flagrantly unconstitutional law, talking about the Texas bill, engineered to prohibit women from exercising their constitutional rights and evade judicial scrutiny, a majority of justices have opted to bury their heads in the sand. I'm going to pause here. For her to say, prohibit women from exercising their constitutional rights, without saying what constitutional right they have. If you can see here, let me enlarge here. This is the Constitution right here. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say women and anybody has a right to murder anybody. Show me in the Constitution. It is now on Justice Sonia Sotomayor to show the American public where in the Constitution women have a right to murder. I pause because it's not in the Constitution. And the sad thing is, the same thing was said by the President of the United States, publication, marketing, whatever, office. This is sad. They said the same thing today. Texas law SB8 went into effect. This extreme Texas law blatantly violates the constitutional rights established under Roe v. Wade and upheld as precedent for nearly half a century. I'm sorry. A legal court case does not set constitutional rights. It sets legal precedent, which is what the vice president's office said. And what they said is, they said this yesterday, said today a new law takes effect in Texas that directly violates the precedent established in the landmark case of Roe v. Wade. That's more like what happened, not what the president and Justice Sonia Sotomayor said of violating constitutional rights established by Roe v. Wade. I'm not a civics expert, but I'm pretty sure in my basic understanding of civics that the judicial branch does not make laws. And it sounds like those within this administration need another lesson on that. And this is why we're going to continue in cases like this. This is one of those golden court cases where we're going to continue to intercede that these golden court cases arise in this season to allow liberty and justice to reign, along with interceding that the Lord raise up leaders in the White House who will administrate his wisdom and for his enemies to be scattered. We're realizing where our enemies lie now in the fact that they're calling Roe v. Wade a constitutional right. But Bernie Sanders says stuff like this. AOC says stuff like this. But this is coming out of the White House right now. This is sad to see the White House call Roe v. Wade a constitutional right. It is not. It is legal precedent that was incorrectly ruled back in its heyday and has been allowed to be upheld for 50 years. Okay? This is blatantly false. Just an outright and blatant legal miscalculation and understanding and interpretation of how things are actual. And again, please show me what constitutional right is established by Roe v. Wade, or that is actually an amendment that has been voted on by the legislative branch. It hasn't. Okay. So I digress and I move on. Now, one of my last stories, you probably saw this one. I just have a quick analysis on this one. So the LA Teachers Union leader, Cicely Myrick Cruz, comes out to say and says that there's no such thing as a learning loss. Again, teachers, schools are in the business of educating children on the basis of reading, writing, and arithmetic. That's basic understanding. Obviously, you can digress and go into a more nuanced understanding, but for her to say there's no such thing as a learning loss is very eye-revealing. Also shows parents, if you haven't, I know some of you guys have got involved in with the school board and teachers unions and et cetera. Great. That's what needs to happen. That's the foundations of how our civics are set up. And she goes on to acknowledge that students' achievements in mathematics, for instance, might have been harmed by virtual learning, and asserted that the experience of surviving 2020 and 2021 somehow makes up for this, in saying that it's okay for our babies have not learned their timetables. They learn survival. They learn resilience. They learn critical thinking skills. They know the difference between riot and a protest. They know words insurrection and coup. But my question is, do they know how to spell? And the reason we have to call this out and point this out is because she is not the only teachers union leader who is like this. She is not the only teacher who is like this. As you saw with, if you've seen the Project Veritas exposing the Antifa teacher on the West Coast get exposed and get fired because of his indoctrination of students and students pushing back against him and parents pushing back against him and being exposed. This is what happens when unfortunately parents don't get involved. And in a lot of these situations, she knows her rights. She says, you can recall the governor, you can recall the school board, but how are you going to recall me? Teachers are going to have to stand up. This isn't just parents. Teachers as well are going to have to stand up because teachers can get her recalled. Teachers can get her removed. So this, we point this out to talk about the state of the educational affairs in this country, and for parents to wake up and understand the realities of what's actually going on. And then this story, I'll close on this. This is great news. I want to end on a positive note today. Today is a little rough, a little meaty on the news cycle side. But the last thing here, and I'll close, is that California and LA County are ordered to pay, because they lost the case, to John MacArthur's Grace Community Church of Sun Valley in California, $800,000 because of illegal COVID lockdown orders. Their lawyer, Jenna Ellis of the Thomas More Society, helped represent them and basically posted a note saying, "We are very pleased to see MacArthur and Grace Community Church's First Amendment protections fully vindicated in this state, in this case." And the reason I read that is because she defended a constitutional right, and she said what constitutional right they said. So this goes back to the Texas abortion law that went into effect, where Justice Sotomayor and President's office put out constitutional right. What constitutional right? Here's how you verbalize that. You say what constitutional right? And what Jenna Ellis here did is say, we protected First Amendment rights. And also, for those in California, know that you'll be on the hook for this. But also, it's not only the state, but the LA County Board of Supervisors as well, who will ultimately split the $800,000 going towards the legal fees of Grace Community Church and Thomas More Society from this legal battle. So there is a reason for why we're here standing on the wall. There's a reason we're believing for these golden court cases to continue to arise, that liberty can reign. And this sets a precedence, along with Cheyenne's, legal battle that he won against the state. This shows that the Constitution means something, that the legal process works when applied correctly, and ultimately leading to, obviously, the recall of Governor Gavin Newsom. On a positive note, rights are being defended because of the Constitution. The Constitution is being stretched at this point, and people are going to have to learn to lean into it hard and understand that it is there for a reason. It is there for a purpose. Yes, some good news to hold throughout the day in this season where we're at, and understand that there is biblical wisdom and biblical foundations in the laws that were implemented at the foundations of this country. And where was it perfect at that time? Absolutely not. Are we perfect? No. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we have to continue to rely upon the wisdom and the foundations that the Lord and the Holy Spirit gave our founding fathers at the time, for times such as this. We are called to stand on this hill, to be a light to those around us, so that we can not only be a light for this nation, but bring the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. So with that, I bless you guys. We'll come back tomorrow for Shabbat Shalom news update, and we will close out the week. And hopefully you guys can continue to just shine the light of Christ wherever you may go. So don't forget today, for those in Shreveport-Bossier area, we'll be out and about on a new prayer walk. And for those not in the Shreveport-Bossier area, this is meant to be an example of how to pray and how we pray in our local and surrounding areas to take back the cities that we're in for the kingdom, to allow freedom and liberty and justice and the light of Christ to reign. So if you want to watch that, again, we'll be on all our social, we'll try to be on our social media platforms. We'll not be on our app because it's not able to get on there with the technologies that we have, but it will be on Facebook and YouTube for you to watch and go back on replay. So with that, blessings. See you guys tomorrow, and hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Have a good one.